This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry, Mariana and Alan. It's our Christmas feature. So Merry Christmas to one and all from me.
And likewise from New Zealand Bridge to you, to all of your contributors and to all of your listeners. All the best for the festive season, and we hope that 2024 starts off a hell of a lot better than what 2023 started.
Well, yeah. I'm pleased to see you sitting up. I've had visions of you'll be lying flat on your back and we're talking to you like that.
No, I've been there. It's a week ago, so I'm walking four times a day for about 20 minutes, which is pretty good.
Great.
The incision was about 20 centimetres long, so it's quite lengthy and quite deep. We're making progress.
That's great.
Okay, it's better to talk about something about Bridge, I guess. So let's start with the interprovincials, Alan. That's sure. Pretty much been finalised, what's going to happen in 2024.
So we consulted, a level of concern that putting it back to Congress was a retrograde step and that the players would find it difficult on many fronts, primarily the length of time, the amount of concentration required, the cost. And so we had feedback. We've agreed to move it away from Congress. We are sticking with the premise that we would like to reinstate the event face-to-face, and that will take place in November in Wellington. And the regions have until, I think it's probably the end of January, might be a few days before that, to advise the chief director of their plans for trials or selection.
Oh, right, the format for them. Yeah, because originally...
Yeah, whatever they're going to do in each region may be the same, it may be different.
Yeah. So originally, back in June this year, it was going to be tagged into Congress from the Wednesday leading up.
There was just deep concern about how good that event would be. I'm sure people would have responded and we would have had people playing like we used to. Fair enough. It's a different world today than what it was in the past. We are committed to trying to restore face-to-face Bridge as much as we can. And it is, next to Congress, our second most prestigious event. And it's kind of lost its luster a little bit, and we would like to reinstate that. We'd like clubs to get behind it, try and gain some sponsorship if we can. And we're changing the name, of course. It will no longer be the IPs. It's going to become New Zealand Regional Championships because they're not really provinces anymore. We live in a state of regions. We don't live in a state of provinces.
Right, okay.
A slight rebranding.
Yeah, right. The thing about Congress, of course, it is adding an extra 3 days Bridge onto Congress probably does take its toll on some people by the time they get to the end of the week.
Yeah, it may do. It didn't in the past, or maybe it did and we didn't care.
I think perhaps it did. But I mean, people are all a little bit older now too, I guess.
Yeah, but there are younger people coming through.
Indeed. So that's the, got to get this new name, what is it? The New Zealand,
it's the New Zealand Bridge
Regional Championships.
New Zealand Bridge Regional Championships, okay.
Yeah.
We'll have to try and remember that before we talk about it again.
Don't call it the IPs. Just do a nice job transitioning from IPs to the Regional Championships.
Somebody's going to abbreviate that.
Oh, probably.
I'll just call it the Regionals. That's what they'll call it going forward once they get used to it.
Call it the Regionals.
Okay, on to another thorny topic that you've had to deal with this year, of course, the online Bridge or the tournament schedule online and face-to-face. I know there's probably not final decisions being made on this, Alan. Any progress?
No, and you're right. We haven't made final decisions. Our process has been slow, and for that I apologise, because there are a lot of players out there who'd be keen to know what's going on. And it's this challenge of trying to find a pathway of harmonising the two forms of the game. we've got a duty to clubs, to work with clubs and protect the formation of clubs, because ultimately clubs are our members. Okay, it's not the players who are our members, it's the clubs who are our members. And so we have a duty to the clubs to ensure that we don't undermine their welfare and their future. But at the same time, acknowledging that there is a place for online, there is a cohort of players who will only play online in the future and may not play face-to-face. And of course, then there is whatever the next generation might look like and what are their aspirations in terms of a playing format. And that will evolve over time. So where we've got to is primarily the seven national events or seven regional events, because each region has a major event every year. They will be played either face-to-face or online, and there will be a mix throughout those seven. Christchurch, the South Island teams, teams in February, is being played online as the first cab off the rank. There is an argument which is under consideration that maybe Christchurch, Wellington, Auckland should be events that are played face-to-face because they're on the national sort of airline route. And those that are further afield could have a choice because it's a lot more expensive to get to somewhere in Otago, Southland, and it might be more expensive to get to somewhere in Central Districts and so on. It might get some tweaking. Then the mini congresses and regional events, the intention is that they would be face-to-face where there is more than one event scheduled on those dates. So you don't get competition between two events and you get one event going particularly well and one event getting undermined or eroded. We're going to introduce a new event which will be online in celebration of Matariki. So that will be an online event. Those events that currently happen midweek, those tournaments midweek, can continue either face-to-face or online. What I've avoided talking about is what do we do with what we did during the course of 23 is the trial of that one weekend a month where people can opt in or opt out of face-to-face versus online. Yep. There's some real sticky stuff in there, and we're still working through that. And we need to kind of do some more work with Rona as the tournament scheduler. So I'm hopeful by mid-January.
Mid-January
to have something. Now, whatever it is unlikely to start until March, because this year nothing happened in February. And of course, in February, we've got the South Island teams, and then there's the Gold Coast. So, you know, unlikely for anything in February. So if it goes ahead and how it goes ahead, probably March through to November. So as soon as we can, we will. I know people are frustrated, and if we put out something half-cocked, then all we're going to get is brickbats and we've made no progress.
Is there any chance that clubs can submit now to host an online event and then get caught up in the wash with the decisioning?
A little bit premature, Mariana, because A, we need to understand when that can happen, what the process might be, and what the conditions could be. And I think my heart tells me those conditions we have to be pretty clear on, I suppose pretty close to black and white, because otherwise we'll get manipulation. As soon as we can get to that point and share that information, the better.
I can give you an example for the Hamilton Club. So at the very beginning of July, we're hosting a national event. And then the following weekend, we actually have our own tournament.
Yeah.
So we were hopeful to host online for the national event and face-to-face for our own event, which was teams, I believe. Is that right, Barry? It's teams
event. It is a teams event, yeah.
Yeah. So instead of having two big tournaments, you know, two weekends in a row.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. So that's opting out of, if that weekend happened to be an online opportunity, you'd say, no, I'm going to play face-to-face. And like, you'd have 100, 110% support for that, for the face-to-face. The national event, that's a decision that the region has to take as to what it's going to do. So if people want face-to-face, there will be no obstacles to face-to-face events. It's managing what online takes place and how that takes place and how we approve it and ensuring that we're not denigrating other events around the country.
Of course.
Most bridge entities around the world are pushing back to face-to-face. I think the ABF, their online options have just about disappeared. There are a number of clubs who are private clubs in Australia who are clearly pushing online, but that's for their own commercial gain. And fair enough, you can't stop it.
Barry, why don't you discuss about your thoughts on mini congresses?
Oh, that was merely a thought. You know, our mini congress on Labor Weekend, look, it's never, I don't know how do I put this, it's never had huge support. And of course, the same weekend, Otago Southland are running theirs, which has less support than ours. It was merely a thought. I agree with what they're saying is that these mini congresses should be face to face, because obviously if one of us went online, it would take entries away from the other one.
Yeah,
from...
and that's happened in the past.
So that can't happen, really. And, you know, obviously I'm not speaking for the Waikato region, and I certainly can't speak for the Otago Southland region. But I did wonder about if you were to run it online, if you could combine that, you know, have the two regions run it together, sure, if there was some agreement.
Look, I think we shouldn't close our eyes to that sort of innovation. If you both came in it together, and so the benefits are shared, so you're not eroding one at the expense of the other, or you make it one online event.
Yep, that's what I was thinking.
I don't think you should close your mind to innovation. I think we should remain open to innovation. It's like saying Gisborne's a good example, that when they've run their tournament, they have, and it's way out the reach of many people, and they might get eight tables. When they played online this year, I can't remember the number of tables, 40-something odd tables online.
It was significant, wasn't it?
Very significant for that club. That was done with the support of Tauranga.
Of Tauranga, that's right, yes.
Who ran it for them, which was really good. But not one Gisborne player played.
Mm.
So, you know, you've got to say, well, why are we doing this? Is it part of our fundraising, our finances, or is it about actually supporting our players?
Right.
Mm. I don't know how many Gisborne players usually played in it. It doesn't sound like it was that many.
It would have been more if it was face-to-face and you have to drive there or fly there.
For sure, yeah. I mean, as far as the Labor Weekend one, just getting back to that, I mean, it'd be fair to say if our numbers were huge and we were getting great support, we wouldn't even be considering anything different. Yeah, and obviously events that are doing well, you're not going to try and reinvent the wheel, are you? But when you've got events that aren't perhaps as popular as they used to be or as popular as you'd like, sometimes you want to just try something different.
Yes. Or you have to think about, what do we do to encourage more people to come?
Mm.
Instead of the existing model, whatever the existing model is, what innovation can we bring that would encourage people to come along and come and stay in Hamilton and play 3 days?
Yeah.
It might be all sorts of things.
Yeah. So we had our Jubilee that weekend. Don't know. The majority of people came, but not all came. Mm. And so if you don't hook in a dinner or something like that, it's like, whoa, that was a lot of effort and not everybody came. But you can't really say that you're going to get 100% participation.
No, you're never going to get 100%.
You're never going to get that. So whether you're happy to go and do the rest of it, I don't know what you could do to pull them. Have a superstar overseas.
I say what I'm always saying is that it's coming down to cost for people, you know. Alan Morris is not going to be the next Minister of Finance. They're having enough troubles trying to reduce the cost of living.
He doesn't like handling sausages, does he?
And I guess a weekend in Hamilton is, or a weekend in Gisborne, or a weekend in Tauranga or wherever, it doesn't come cheap anymore.
I think we should go back to offering billet.
We've got to find a way that works for the clubs and it works for us, because we're trying not to put up costs. I know we put up the cost of A points. We're trying not to put up costs. Every cost line of ours is increasing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Every cost line. And every cost line for every individual is increasing.
Yeah.
Sure.
So we are very conscious of the cost of living issue. You know, that's not our responsibility. That's central government. We don't want to undermine bridge as a viable sport for people to play, a leisure activity.
Mm. Yeah, sure. So,
hey, look, lots of things to ponder and worry about, and lots of things outside New Zealand.
Well, you see, other things that are clearly on the agenda that we have to think about. The international program is very expensive, okay? It's probably closer to your home, Barry, than the rest of us. It is an expensive thing for us to participate over 4 years to send four teams away and to potentially have a youth squad go away. Invariably, they're in the Northern Hemisphere. In 2024, it's in Argentina. It ain't cheaper to get to Argentina. It's probably more expensive to get to Argentina than it is to get to Europe. So we've got to say, what are we going to do in terms of cutting your cloth? We had an invite this week by the FISU, which was to do with the universities, and they're running their mind games in Uganda. And you tell, well, that's an opportunity for maybe students, university students to go. But, and while we're saying no, A, they're not in our tournament schedule. They're not in our budget. Uganda has just introduced anti-gay legislation. So you don't want to send somebody over, which would be fundamentally is against our Bill of Rights. So we've said absolutely not. We're in total opposition, along with the ABF, and we've responded to the WBF accordingly. So, you know, all of these things happen all the time that you just got to say, great idea, find another country. We probably still won't go because we can't afford it. People might want to go on their own account.
For sure. Yeah. Look, well, New Zealand Bridge contributes a lot of money to International Bridge, by no means funds the whole thing. So it's still a big cost to the players as well. I don't know whether I'd be keen for a trip to Uganda, but I'm too old anyway.
Just the principles of balancing your books, cutting your cloth accordingly. Those things aren't easy.
So the international program for next year, there is only that one event, isn't there?
There is only the one event which we're committed to in
Buenos Aires
in October next year.
Well, that'll give the NZ Bridge time to save up, Mariana.
If you play more often,
we might get some revenue
coming through.
Well, there you go.
Look, some of us have to try and make the team first. There's a long way to go.
Yeah, but that's healthy.
That's right. Actually, quite interesting, Alan. This is not something that was on the agenda. The mixed category, which is obviously the one I have an interest in, has 9 teams entered for it this year. So that must be, I can't remember us having that many teams entered for anything in previous years for a while.
As a team, and they're 4-person teams, it's pretty hard to think that you'd have effectively 18 pairs trialling. That's huge. Some will be development looking further ahead, and others would have more immediate aspirations.
Wow.
But yeah, so the mixed category seems to be, for some reason, seems to be, and it's not just in New Zealand. I think they had 7 or 8 teams in the mixed in the ABF as well.
Finished theirs already.
Yeah, they're a little bit more mature or sophisticated than what we are.
Okay.
I'm just wondering whether that's going to be, you know, broadcast on something to the ABF that the chairman of NZ Bridge said all the Australian bridge players are getting old. Is that what he said?
No, I did not say that.
No, he said
their system was more mature.
The system was more mature. I wasn't talking about players.
The players were more mature.
It's all right.
The system and process might have been a bit more mature.
It's all right, Alan. I know you've got a sore back, but I've got it.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. So we've covered a range of things, and I guess we'll hear a little bit more about online bridge or maybe sometime towards the end of January.
Yeah, I would hope that I mean, I know what Alistair's doing, some work in the background. That'll go back to Kate and her team, and she'll need to quite a bit of work with Rona. So I'm hoping mid-January before anniversary weekend, if we can, and that will go out to the clubs and the regions. Yep.
Right.
That's the plan.
Okay, so let's do a wind-up then. So
a wind-up? Yeah, let's do that.
For me, we're heading up to Auckland this weekend to say hello to one of our nieces that has flown in from London. We've got a very short time window, so we've got morning tea. That's our slot.
I don't know how
other people are sharing their family time, but that's what we've been given times to arrive, and that's when we do. But all the best, everybody.
The older you get smaller and smaller slots.
that right?
Yeah, well, I think as the families get bigger and they've got to go there and they've got to go there,
Yeah.
your slot gets smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
Well, so we have a barbecue on Christmas Day and in the evening, and that's our slot.
Nice.
As you get older and you eat too much of the barbecue, some things get bigger and bigger in size, Ellen. So, you know, you can't have everything.
Yeah, thank you. I'll see you at Thames.
You will see me at Thames, and you'll see Mariana at Thames.
Planning it.
Good.
We've got our first little hooks.
I'm not playing Papatoe, Beverly is. I thought sitting was just a bit too much at the moment.
All right, yeah.
We'll play Auckland and we'll play Thames, and we're playing Tauranga.
Lovely.
Thank you, Ellen. Thanks for coming on and trying to answer some questions for us. Much appreciated.
It's nice. Brilliant. Have a great Christmas. Don't overindulge.
Coming up next, we're heading off to the courthouse. Director, please.
How can I help?
Judge Julie presiding.
Hey, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you.
Is it snowing where you guys are?
No.
So that's the news, guys. It's not snowing in Wellington or Pyrrha, and I'll let you guess which one's which.
Look, Christmas present.
Oh, wow.
What is
Barry says,
she's putting something up to the camera, guys, and we don't know what it is. Oh, it's to put your glasses in. It's a glasses case with an owl on it. Is it an owl?
Yeah, it's an owl. The wise old owl.
Julie, we've got two questions for the price of one. Speaking about prices, this is a bit of an odd question, and I don't know whether it's in your sphere of knowledge. But the question is, should a non-playing director get paid more than a playing director?
I'm pleased that we're talking about both lots getting paid. So first of all, I'd like to say to everyone to appreciate their directors. It's hard work, and it's some people we should treat with respect. They do a lot of work to learn the laws and to try their best to do what they can. And most people actually don't like directing, and part of the reason they don't is because people get grumpy with them all the time, as opposed to the person I live with who's grumpy anyway, but we're not going...
Are you in the Snow White and the Seven Dwarves? Are you Snow White?
I'm certainly not a dwarf. I'm going to put that right out there right now. Directing. So people work really, really hard. And what clubs do over time, I don't actually know. At one point, majority didn't pay. I think they do now. One of the things that is noticeable is the areas that paid their director a reasonable token. The directing standard was higher than the areas that didn't, where they were entirely dependent on volunteers. So that's something to think about, with having people that are well qualified and work hard at what they're doing. The playing directing is really, really hard. You can't answer calls and play very comfortably. It impacts really badly, not only on yourself, but also on your partner. The people that play and direct do a job that is really quite difficult in a lot of ways. And then you get information about hands that you haven't played. So they really do help keep things running. And with New Zealand having small clubs, a lot of clubs do have playing directors. It's unfortunate because having a non-playing director gives better coverage of a room. They can do the scoring, they can do the running around. For all of that, and deal the boards and all of those things that need doing, where we rely on voluntary staff. So what they get paid is, like any contract with anybody, is a negotiating point for individuals and for clubs about what they do or that what they don't do. Certainly, they should be appreciated. And it doesn't matter whether they're playing or non-playing. They should all be appreciated hugely for the work that they do.
Hey, I've got some useful information, or maybe it's not, as usual. The minimum wage is $22.70 an hour. How many directors do you reckon around the country get that?
It is a point. And not only that, most sessions are 3 hours. That is not including arriving, setting up and cleaning up at the end. If you are contracting or whatever way you are dealing with people or employing, it is about what you do. I have no idea. I have not asked any club what they pay their directors.
So we'll go on to my second question, which is, you know, this time of year, some clubs, the numbers are dropping off and they've only got a few tables. It's a maths question, Julie, and I know that that'll be your area of expertise, but does the validity of the results alter as the field gets smaller? So if you've got 20 tables and we've got three tables or four tables, or whatever, five tables even, is the validity of the result affected?
I presume that we're talking about clubs here. So you can tell me, if I have four tables of gold grandmasters and I have 20 tables of beginners through to gold grandmasters playing each other, do we think any one of those is better than the other? And which one would you think it was?
So clearly you'd think if you won the event with four tables of gold grandmasters, you'd think that was a better achievement. I guess that...
Oh, I would certainly have had to play really well, wouldn't I? It's statistics. So the more boards we play, the more likely the people that are the best are going to win. The bigger field we've got probably adds more competition. So when we're doing formats for teams or for various things, we want to have the fields even so that you play an even group. So when we're doing tournaments and we seed the field, it's important to seed the whole field because the top and the bottom of the field are the ones that we want to be even. So everyone gets a fair go. Gold Coast, we're going to play a ton of people. So, I mean, they have massive fields. Is that really better than playing in a small field in the final? I presume you can debate this till the cows come home, and that would be your area of expertise, Barry.
Farmer Jones.
Maybe your comment on the weight of the Gold Coast people, you're going to play a ton of people, and I thought it was a bit out there suggesting that...
It's after Christmas and New Year. Who knows how much we will have enjoyed ourselves. Given what we do to narrow fields down to be in the final stages of a few people playing, I'm not too sure. Obviously, the standard of the field would impact on what you think is good and bad.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure that the numbers in that field are quite so relevant as the standard.
Talking of a mixed field, wearing another hat, Julie, is Auckland Bridge Club. For the people that had their Christmas dinner, is there going to be a bit of online bridge for people to play at the Auckland Bridge Club over the holidays?
Yeah, just about our normal for this week. Next week, between Christmas and New Year, we don't. And then the club itself starts back on the 8th of January anyway, so it's back to normal from that point of view. So if you go to the Auckland Bridge Club site, you will see with Real Bridge anything that's on for the week. But also, if you go to the What's On part of the website, the calendar, it will show all of the sessions that have been run through the holiday period. And we are running sessions very regular.
I'm a bit surprised, really, that you're giving Patrick Christmas Day off.
I'm amazed that he's taking Christmas Day off, actually. I don't know, it's a case of giving him anything. However, the holiday pairs are on the 2nd, 3rd and 4th of January for Auckland. Papatoa, which is over the Christmas break, is the 27th, 28th and 29th, as usual. And we have got Thames on the weekend of the 6th and the 7th with their normal mini congress. And I presume quite a few other places over the holiday period. Sorry if I don't know the actual dates for all of those clubs. There is a lot of bridge on over the holiday period till we start back with the 2024 calendar.
You have a good Christmas Day, and we shall catch you in the new year.
Okay, looking forward to it. Everyone have a wonderful break.
That's it from us for this week.
Okay, bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international, nationwide.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.